This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch.
With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination.
And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
It's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Hopefully it's not a bittersweet Friday for you all out there listening to us here on the Chuck Oliver Show. Dan Matthews in for Chuck. I know it's definitely not for Chuck. Although I think he's en route to where he's going. And look, I always look forward to vacations and time off, and I always look forward to being able to fly to said destination. You know, it's still a little bit of a good feeling, but it's just the whole process of flying. Can we all agree it sucks now? Like, it's not only just the whole process of the cattle call, of security, everything like that, getting through. People have jobs to do. I get it. But still, you know, just the whole everything that you got to do in getting through. And like I said, I do appreciate it, but that's annoyance number one. And then it's just dealing with people, because I almost feel like people, as soon as they get into airports, they almost feel like I have agency to be a jerk. And it's just like, you really don't, dude. I mean, you know, just going through, we're all trying to get from point A to point B, just like you are. And here's the other part of it as well. Two pet peeves here. Number one pet peeve: if your group is not the next one to be called or the one that is being called to board the plane, sit down. Do not congregate near the gate. Please just sit down. Go away. The other one as well is, once the plane lands and we get to the gate, and you hear the ding, and you hear all the seatbelts unbuckling almost in unison, and then you have the immediate standers. If you're sitting behind a group of rows, sit down. Like, that, there is nothing that annoys me more. Like, I legit, on my flight back from L.A., of somebody who tried to, like, jump the rows as we were getting off the plane, I threw out my arm and I said, no. Like, dude, I'm in 22, you're in 26. 22 comes before 26. Wait your turn. You're going to get off the plane soon enough. Wait your turn. So, soapbox over right there. Dan Matthews, a little bit of, you know, traveling, I guess you could say, grievances being aired here as we start off the noon hour. But it's not going to be all angry, Dan, here in hour two of the show, as we will be able to talk some Clemson football here in just a few minutes. Good buddy Will Vandervoort of the Believe in Clemson Football podcast, writer for All Clemson, part of the Sports Illustrated network of sites. At Steeler Will is how you find him on Twitter. And then also to Connor O'Gara, good buddy from Saturday Down South. We'll have a chance to catch up with Connor here momentarily. But I do want to start, though, first with Deion Sanders at Colorado. And a huge part of this is the news that came out last night, and that was being able to get a flip in commitment from the number one cornerback in 2023, Cormani McClain, who was set to go play at Miami, and then all of a sudden decided, no, you know what, I think I'm going to go out west, and I'm going to play for Deion Sanders. And that was the decision that he made, the defensive back out of Lakeland. Again, the number one corner in this cycle of recruiting, the number nine prospect overall for the class of 2023, and the number three prospect in the state of Florida. God, that just shows you how much talent they have in that state. But the five-star cornerback, second five-star corner in as many years to decide to go play for Coach Prime and decide to go out there to Colorado, as Travis Hunter also decided, as there was some thought that maybe Hunter would entertain going back to the home state and playing at Georgia, but instead he decided that he was going to follow Coach Prime from Jackson State out to Colorado. And I think this also leads to another part of the discussion as well with Colorado, and that is the hype believable? Like, can Deion actually win out there? And I think that if nothing else, it's any hype for that program is good right now. And it is almost on a daily basis. I mean, if you're on social media, chances are you're going to see some sort of video. I mean, remember when Deion took over the position and it was the, I'm bringing my luggage with me. I'm bringing Louie, as he said, about going into the transfer portal and telling guys, hey, look, it ain't going to be the old times here. Like, it's not just because you were a starter last year, all of that kind of stuff, that you can expect that's going to be the case again this year. As a matter of fact, he straight up told his guys, get in the portal right now, because he was pretty much saying the program that you knew that you played for and that you committed and signed to under the previous coaches, that's over. It's gone. It's now going to be a new day. And I said that what I believe he was really telling the guys was, if you're afraid of competition, then the portal is right there. Get on out of here. I mean, it is the old kind of hellfire and brimstone speech that we get, because I'll just go ahead and say it. I mean, you know, any of us listening to this, if you're a Christian, you remember that one time in your life during Christianity, whether it was at a retreat, whatever it might have been, you were told there was no way that you can get to heaven. It's the same speech every single time. And if I'm letting the cat out of the bag, then I'm letting the cat out of the bag. But then, of course, you realize the way that you can get to eternal happiness after your life here on earth is through one particular way of getting there. And in this case right here, that was kind of what he was telling them, was people hear the initial message of the transfer portal, that's where you need to go. And then it was probably followed up with, if not caught on camera, but the actual meaning of it was, well, actually, here's the way that you can stay around here and be able to flourish in said program. And that is being able to take on competition. And that's something that he's trying to build there. The other part of it as well is, I know that some of you have seen the video of Tim Brewster, the tight end coach there with the Colorado Buffaloes now. And he had the video the other day, and I piled on too on Twitter, I'm not going to lie, where he was yelling. He wasn't talking to the team. He was yelling about, when I tell you to stand tall, you stand tall. And it was almost kind of military precision of stand tall. And everybody jumped up. And I said, all right, tell me you're trying too hard. Like, you know, it's one of those things that it's like, I get that you're trying to build a culture there. I get that you're trying to do all these different types of things. But come on, man. Like, when it really comes down to it, don't insult the sensibilities of people. Like, I think these guys understand what is being expected of them now in the program. If they've stuck around, I think they absolutely understand that. And maybe some will not. I mean, as you continue to go through a process of building a culture, you, while you might be bought in, you might be on board, as you get further into it, you're kind of like, yeah, I don't really like that too much. As a matter of fact, I don't really think I want to be a part of this. And you decide to go elsewhere. That's what college players do now. But it went as far as well as, I didn't get this treatment, but Danny Cannell got the treatment of, you know, talking about, this is why certain guys are cut out for college coaching and not for the pros. And Tim Brewster clapped back pretty quickly and said, well, actually, Danny, I coached in the NFL for 5 years. Why don't you ask Antonio Gates? Which wasn't a bad answer there. But still, I do get the point, though, as well, with, you know, people's criticism of the video. But it's also, too, as well, look, it's their method. It's their way. It's trying to make this program into a viable program, because for the longest time, this CU program at Colorado has been nothing but just an absolute abyss of mediocrity at best. And it's just been a downright awful program. And a few years ago, when they hired Carl Durrell, a guy who was nothing more than pedestrian at UCLA, as soon as I saw that hire was made, I said, you got to be kidding me if you're Colorado. Like, you're telling your fan base that you don't care enough to go for it when you make a hire like that. Like, it is seriously, I'm going to go a wrestling example here. And, oh, I already saw David Holloway behind the glass. He perked up. But it kind of reminds me a little bit of what you're telling your fan base is the storyline that they had years ago in WCW for Sting, when Sting came back and they kept offering him these ridiculous matches, which we all knew what eventually it was going to lead to, right? We all knew that it was going to lead to Sting against Hollywood Hogan, and that was the match that we wanted. But I remember whoever the stooge was for the WCW going out there with a contract, and he first offered Sting, here is a contract for a match against Curt Hennig. That is what this is as a fan base. That is what that is to your fan base when you hire a coach like Carl Durrell, who was, like I said, pedestrian at best at UCLA. That is what you're offering your fan base. You're offering them a contract for a match against Curt Hennig. This is now the offering of a match against Hollywood Hogan, of having Deion Sanders there. And do I necessarily think that Deion Sanders is going to be a consistent winner in the Pac-12? I don't necessarily see it, but I think if nothing else, he's going to at least make it exciting there. He's going to get players there, as he's already proving. And the hype is already continuing to build up in this program. And I think if nothing else, if you're a fan of the Colorado program, you at least say, I appreciate you taking a chance in this regard. Because really now, as a program that Colorado is, not being known as one of the top spenders, not necessarily being known as a program that is all in, invested in not only winning the Pac-12, but going for the college football playoff, you're probably not going to get the top tier candidates when you have an opening here in the very near future. But maybe Deion can build you up to that, because if nothing else, we know that Deion Sanders is about, he's about promotion. He's about letting you know, hey, 21 is over here. Prime is here. And I think if you're a Colorado fan, that's got to make you excited. I mean, I think that there is going to be actual people heading into that stadium next fall and saying, this will be fun. I can't wait to see what this looks like. He did it at the HBCU level, and he was able to raise the profile of not only Jackson State, but of HBCU programs in general. And that's how you have Eddie George being hired at a program. That's how you have, despite the video he posted earlier this week, Ed Reed coaching at Bethune-Cookman as well. Deion Sanders was able to bring that hype to the programs that needed the hype in the HBCU ranks, and now he's bringing it over to Colorado. So, look, the hype and everything that he's bringing to Colorado, I think it's awesome to see. I think if nothing else, whenever you see a game next fall, and if it's a Thursday, Friday night, I mean, you know, Colorado, I think we'll have some Friday night games, that Pac-12 window that they have there. I think if you see that Colorado is on the schedule that night, you're probably going to say, I'll watch. I'll see what Coach Prime has out there. So I think if nothing else, if you're a fan, that's got to excite you a little bit more. And the fact that you're even being mentioned right now, I think that's got to be even more excitement for you as a fan base, because the worst thing you can have, good or bad, is people who just say, yeah, I could take them or leave them. If you have people who say, I love them, that's great. You know what's equally as great? I hate them. That's great, too, because at least you have an opinion. And if people at least have an opinion of you, then you're doing your job. That goes for that. Then you're doing your job. That goes for us here in this business. That goes for coaches. That goes for athletes. That goes for really pretty much everyone is, hey, make them have an opinion about you. And Deion Sanders definitely makes people have an opinion about you. And I am all here for it. All right. Coming up next, change, you say. Well, that doesn't happen very often at Clemson. We'll talk about that with our good buddy Will Vandervoort of the Believe in Clemson podcast. That is next right here on the Chuck Oliver Show. It's Dan Matthews in for Chuck on a Friday.
Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Chuck Oliver Show on a Friday. Will Vandervoort next. After him, Connor O'Gara. As the college football conversation is hot and heavy here on a Friday. Off season, who says so? We keep the conversation going year-round when it comes to college football here on the Chuck Oliver Show. Dan Matthews in for Chuck right now, as promised. Let's head on out to the phone line. Today's Truist reporter here on the show, Will Vandervoort, co-host of the Believe in Clemson football podcast, also writer for All Clemson, part of the Sports Illustrated network of sites. Find him on Twitter at SteelerWill is how you can find him. Will, always appreciate it, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
I got no complaints. We're talking college football on January 20th here. So if we're doing that, I think we're doing things right. Let's start first with the news of the offseason for the Clemson program. That is, of course, the firing of Brandon Streeter and the hiring of Garrett Riley. Just the fans you talk with, the fans who react to your work, how are they taking the hiring of Garrett Riley?
They're excited. You know, it's no secret Clemson, you know, just wasn't offensively wasn't as good as they have been in years past and the last couple of years. And, you know, they weren't too thrilled last year when Dabo promoted Brandon Streeter, a longtime assistant coach for him. He's been there since 2014. they weren't excited about that move. And even though Clemson improved offensively last year, when you look at from 2021 to 2022, it didn't really jump off the radar. I mean, yeah, they improved in their overall total offense and scoring offense and passing offense, but not to the point that fans wanted. And it made, and there was some apathy, if you will, and they just weren't excited about what they had coming back for next season, and were worried that the offense was going to continue to be stagnant in certain situations and against certain defenses they play. And so there was a concern. So when Dabo made the move, it brought a level of excitement back for next season, where now, you know, they had all those defensive players, so they're going to return as they did. And then they added this, they added Riley to the mix now on the offensive side. And it got the fan base excited about the possibilities of what Clemson could be next year. Now, granted, that's all good on paper and all, but you got to go do it. And Dabo feels like Riley's the guy that can get the needle moving and get them back up and being one of those top echelon offenses.
What necessarily bottomed out for this offense the last couple of years?
I think it's a factor of a couple of things. I think, first of all, defense has caught up to Clemson, and they were the style of some teams would play would take away a lot of things over the top, which Clemson, you know, in that style of offense, which came with Chad Morris, it was dedicated to the play action passing game and the running game. And I think teams were figuring out how to stop it. I think that's one reason. And then I think the other was the fact that Clemson just doesn't have the skill players that they've had in past years. When you look at wide receiver, I mean, you just didn't see that T. Higgins or that Mike Williams kind of guy, or that Sammy Watkins or Nuke Hopkins. You know, if you go to the long list there of players they had so many big-time wide receivers and playmakers, and they just didn't have them the last couple of years. And I think that's part of it, too. And so that's some areas they're going to have to get better at recruiting. But I think part of because Clemson was getting stagnant at offense is why you weren't seeing those playmakers come to Clemson, because – they just weren't seeing it when they were watching Clemson. They weren't those kind of big-time players were seeing it at Georgia or Alabama, you know. And I think that Clemson was losing in some of those recruiting battles. And I think we've seen that play dividends the last couple of years. So it's a combination of both.
Couple more minutes. Will Vandervoort, co-host of the Believe in Clemson Football podcast, writer for All Clemson, part of the Sports Illustrated network of sites. At Steeler Will is how you find him on Twitter. And I think I know how you're going to answer this, Will, but I'll ask it anyway. And that is, who benefits more from Riley's addition? Is it Cade Klubnik or is it Will Shipley?
Without a doubt, Cade Klubnik. I think, you know, first of all, you got to remember when Riley was at SMU, he recruited him for this Klubnik for his offense. And so at the time he felt like, you know, he fits this offense very well. And I think when you look at what he did at TCU, and how he uses the quarterback in the run game and all, and how he gets them out on the edges. And so all the things that Klubnik is really good at, Riley already calls for in his play calling. And so I think it's going to be a good matchup for him. These two are going to match well together, I believe. And then you throw in that, you know, he's a young, innovative kind of guy. He's going to bring some fresh stuff to the offense that's going to get things excited. And that doesn't mean Clemson's going to give up on the run game, because if you look at TCU, I think, you know, they ran the football very well last season. They had a running back that went over 1,300 yards, I believe. So, you know, I think Will Shipley's going to get his as well. So I don't think the running game is going to suffer, but I think it's not going to be – Clemson really went to the running game the last few years because they had no choice but to, because of what defenses were doing, and they were taking away the big plays from them. So the running game became the facet of that offense. So I think you may see it go back to being more like the Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne kind of offense, or the Deshaun Watson, Wayne Gallman kind of offense, where they kind of fed off each other. And I think that's what you're going to see with Klubnik.
And defensively, you know, I mean, I know Brian Brzee being gone, that hurts. A couple of other key pieces on that side of the ball as we close out with this one. How huge is it to get Tyler Davis back?
Man, it's really huge. The middle of Clemson's defense, you know, they got not only Tyler Davis, but they got Rook, Aurora Thoreau back, Trey Williams, the guy who really came on this year. Peyton Page is another guy that just improved. They really like what they have in DeMonte Capehart. And then they got a true freshman in Caden Story. A redshirt freshman in Caden Story that he redshirted last year. They're going to be really excited about. So the middle of that defense is going to be really good. And then, by the way, Peter Woods, I think that's a guy you can move outside. He can play inside also. He's the big-time recruit that's going to be coming in, and I think he's going to have the best chance to play, maybe him or Vic Burley as well. Defensive end, they don't have the depth, so, you know, they're going to need probably move some guys around. But obviously getting Xavier Thomas back is huge, and Justin Maskell, because now they got experience at least from a starting standpoint. And then we're going to see how those other guys, such as a Cade Denhoff and a Greg Williams and a Zaire Patterson, how have they improved? How have they gotten better? Can they come on now and be productive second and third team guys so Clemson can continue to have that depth on the defensive end as well? But they're really good at the middle. I think the major concern for Clemson defensively is going to be their depth at linebacker. Their starters are as good as anybody, their three starters, when you look at Jeremiah Trotter and Wade Woodaz, Barrett Carter. They're as good as anybody in those areas. But, you know, behind those guys, there's a lot of questions. I think maybe a T.J. Dudley, he kind of showed some improvement. He's a guy they can count on, and maybe a Kobe McLeod. But other than that, they're real thin at the linebackers' positions, and so it's going to be interesting to see how they handle that depth right now, because that's probably their thinnest position going into the season.
Well, there was so much more I wanted to catch up on, Will, but that means I'll just have to save it for the next time we have you here on the show. Will Vandervoort again, co-host of the Believe in Clemson football podcast, writer for All Clemson, part of Sports Illustrated, and you can find him on Twitter at Steeler Will. Will, always appreciate it, buddy. We'll catch up again soon.
All right, man. Appreciate you, buddy. I'll talk to you later.
All right, for sure. As you know, this is a Clemson program that right now I think kind of did reach a little bit of a plateau as a whole because, I mean, you know, everybody wants to compare to everybody else. I mean, the platinum standard for the longest time has been, you know, comparing yourself to Alabama. And there's a program that now I think we can look at and say might be a new platinum standard, especially the last couple of years, and that's the Georgia program. And Clemson is kind of trying to climb their way back into not only for the ACC, but also, you know, college football playoff as a whole. Connor O'Gara next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Now back to Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
All right, bottom of hour two here on a Friday. Chuck Oliver Show, Dan Matthews in for Chuck, the vacationing Chuck Oliver. When he comes back, he's going to be well-rested. He's going to be tan, everything like that. Good for him, man, as we all need a time away from time to time. A man who doesn't really take too much time off because this man's always working. He's Connor O'Gara, Saturday Down South. At CJ O'Gara is how you find him on Twitter. Connor, appreciate it, buddy. Is that accurate? Is it safe to say that you are the Cal Ripken Jr. Iron Man of this business?
I mean, I'll take that title. That's like the nicest thing that anybody can say about me. I don't know that I log the hours of all the beat writers in this business who just work tirelessly to provide so much news, but I do pride myself on being able to grind. And, you know, we got to take a vacation next month. I think we're going to hopefully make it up to Savannah. And I'm allowed to say make it up to Savannah because I live in Orlando. But, yeah, I mean, I'm not – if you say that about me, I'm not going to tell you you're wrong.
Oh, hey, you know what? Hey, you did two things really well right there. Number one, you gave, homage, humility in terms of saying, hey, you know what? There's other people who work hard. And, everybody does deserve some time away. Collins Quarter, by the way, there in Savannah. Just tuck that away for future use. Let's get into it. You talked about this a little bit on the Saturday Down South podcast that is out now, the newest episode. Is Lane Kiffin the undisputed Portal King?
I think he's got to be. This is a unique situation to have an incumbent starter and then to go into the offseason and say, I want not one, but two transfer portal quarterbacks from the Power 5 level to come to Ole Miss. I mean, that is very atypical. And I think everybody that was pro Jackson Dart was saying, well, yeah, they're going to probably add some guys for depth. He's the only scholarship quarterback on the roster. You need to be able to go into the portal. So when the Walker Howard thing happened, you're thinking, okay, this makes sense. Quarterback of the future, nice move. But then the Spencer Sanders thing changes everything, in my opinion. And we see the way that this plays out, where the Oklahoma State transfer, who is a four-year starter, former Fiesta Bowl MVP, he's got 85 career touchdowns, is a good player who can execute Lane Kiffin's offense. And everything that we've seen this week suggests Lane is not satisfied with Jackson Dart as his starting quarterback. These are not additions that you make to just motivate your starter. These are additions you make because you're okay if your starter leaves. And I don't know what the future holds for Jackson Dart, if he's ultimately going to leave Ole Miss and try and play elsewhere, wait and see what it looks like with the eligibility requirements, with the NCAA trying to enforce that for undergrads. Jackson Dart has already used up his one-time exemption to be able to leave USC for Ole Miss. But we know that spring is going to have three quarterbacks at Ole Miss, and it suddenly becomes the most intriguing quarterback battle in the country. I think Spencer Sanders is going to win that job with 1 year of eligibility left. But it is fascinating to see the work that Kiffin has done as the undisputed Portal King.
I think you're looking at my notes, because that's where I was going to go next, of a quick prediction. You already made quick prediction of who's going to win that job, but I guess the second part still holds. Why? Why Spencer Sanders?
Yeah, I think Spencer Sanders is a really solid Power 5 quarterback. I do. And I think Kiffin grew frustrated, and not to read too much into body language, but Kiffin just seemed frustrated. Like, Jackson Dart couldn't make all the throws that he wanted him to and all the reads that he wanted him to in this offense. And I think there's a big misinterpretation of Kiffin's offense. We think it's all quarterback friendly and, because you have Kiffin scheming these guys open, that it's easy. And we see some of these big windows that Jackson Dart had to throw in, and Matt Corral had some big windows as well. It's a difficult offense to execute and master. It really is. And I think that he wants somebody that understands these concepts and can figure this out. And he saw the similarities with what Spencer Sanders would run under Mike Gundy at Oklahoma State. And that move made sense for him. I think he has the versatility as a runner as well. I mean, Jackson Dart didn't have a rushing touchdown until the final game of the year. And he had all those issues in the red zone. And that Lane has just decided, you know what? I loved having a veteran quarterback, and I'm tired of having a mistake prone quarterback running this offense. That's what Jackson Dart was, in my opinion. So I think he saw a better opportunity with Spencer Sanders, and that's why I think he's going to win the job.
Yeah, I mean, it was almost kind of shades of Jimbo and Zach Calzada, wouldn't it? I mean, without the full-on just looks of disgust on the field that Jimbo used to have for Zach Calzada. I'm with you. I kind of got that feeling too, but I think that Lane probably just went with what he felt like was a better option at the time, and obviously now it's showing you that he says, it's time for competition in here at the very least, and they will have that this spring. There's no doubt about it. Let's move over to the SEC East. Connor O'Gara, Saturday Down South, joining us at CJ O'Gara is how you find him on Twitter. You talked with Edgar Thompson. We've had him on this show numerous times, and of course, I'm assuming that Jaden Rashada came up in that conversation. What do you make of that situation?
Just a mess. Just an absolute mess. And Edgar was doing some actual reporting with this and this entire deal about the $13 million figure, which that figure is real. It's definitely real what Jaden Rashada was apparently promised with this NIL deal through Florida after he flipped from Miami. But of course, $13 million is if he stays 4 years, if he checks off this box, this box, this box. So it wasn't like he was walking in the door and getting $13 million bucks. But reality is, this fell through. And that's what we talked about, was that this deal fell through. And it's a really bad precedent to set for Florida. And I understand they got the kid Lagway committed as well. But That's all, you know, that happened before all of this stuff kind of fell through. And now what does it look like in the future when we hear that Florida has a deal lined up with a blue chip quarterback recruit? We're always going to have questions, I think. And it's a bad look. I mean, even though Billy Napier isn't entirely to blame for a situation like this, you knew that they needed to address the quarterback situation. And the saving grace of this bridge the gap addition of Graham Mertz was that Jaden Rashada was going to be there. But now we see this deal fall through. Maybe he wasn't going to be worth that money anyways. That's what the Florida spin zone is right now, and they dodged a bullet. But it's still a bad precedent to set when you're in the business of recruiting blue chip quarterbacks in this day and age. And there's no way that Florida doesn't come out of this with some egg on its face.
I mean, it sounds like the only thing that was missing was the Gators version of Buddy Garrity, maybe. I mean, Doesn't that kind of like seem like it has that vibe to this, that it was like somebody else like, hey, we'll give you this. And it wasn't necessarily a, hey, have you talked with the head coach? Well, no. It's like, okay. But Graham Mertz, I mean, do you feel like they're satisfied? You kind of alluded to on the podcast that maybe there's going to be competition coming there as well.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, it was no secret that Billy Napier was trying to bring in Walker Howard. I mean, that is, to me, a job that you're kind of looking at going, ugh, is Graham Mertz going to win that by default? And maybe we shouldn't be looking too far into the Jack Miller thing, because he was hurt. He had a thumb thing for most of the year that didn't really quite heal the way that they thought it was going to. And then he plays in the bowl game with a really depleted roster against a better Oregon State squad. He just didn't look that good. So is that maybe too much that we're investing into that one game sample size with him? Maybe. But, you know, Graham Mertz is a pretty underwhelming addition for the opportunity that was available at Florida. And this is a guy who in 3 years at Wisconsin, albeit in a conservative offense, you know, didn't necessarily wow you. Never a guy that had more than, what, like 2,100 passing yards in the season. For a guy that didn't really have a high-volume passing offense, he kind of made a lot of mistakes. And it didn't really look like the game slowed down for him. And that was the entire thing with Anthony Richardson this past year, was can Billy Napier correct those mistakes? And instead, he still became a very mistake-prone quarterback, and he's going to the NFL because he has the tools. But we need to see Billy Napier show that he can actually get rid of those mistakes and develop a quarterback. And I have some questions as to whether or not Graham Mertz is going to be that guy.
Connor O'Gara again, Saturday Down South, joining us for a couple more minutes here on the Chuck Oliver Show. Dan Matthews in for Chuck. Let's flip it back over to the SEC West. Nick Saban, I mean, we already know that he is at least, at the very least, I guess we'll have to figure out what the full-time title is going to be for Austin Armstrong, the coach he brought over from Southern Miss, but it seems like he's going to need to bring in a defensive coordinator with Pete Golding moving over to Ole Miss. But also, too, it seems like he's going to need a new offensive coordinator with Bill O'Brien, likely going back to the NFL, if not with the Patriots. So is Nick Saban in position to crush this next cycle of OC and DC hires?
Yeah, he is. He really is. I mean, I think that's what excites Alabama fans. I mean, they did not like Bill O'Brien. They did not like Pete Golding, and they will be happy. I mean, Nick Saban could name pretty much anybody under the sun his new coordinator, and I think Alabama fans would sell themselves on it. Like, they really would. And look, I had suggested before the idea of Kenny Dillingham being Alabama's offensive coordinator, that of course he gets the head coaching job at Arizona State, a guy who's like my age, which is just crazy to think about. But how about Nick Saban potentially calling up, you know, a certain Cliff Kingsbury and saying, hey, come back from Thailand, come run my offense. That idea would be super intriguing. Nick Saban has been, you know, pretty adamant, like going to the NFL actually. And there's a lot more interchangeability, I think, with NFL offenses and college offenses. So it wouldn't surprise me if he did that again. And on the defensive side, you know, we've heard all the names, a Jeremy Pruitt, a Charlie Strong, even Glenn Schumann from Georgia. The name I would love to see is Jim Leonard. I think Jim Leonard from Wisconsin would be fantastic. One of the best defensive minds in the sport. I think he's like Northern Brent Venables in a certain way with how long he was at Wisconsin and how many people expected him to move on. But now with him kind of getting squeezed out of that situation with Luke Fickell, I would love to see Jim Leonard end up at Alabama. I think what he could do with the talent that they would bring in would be second to none. And I think they'd be in a much better spot. But yeah, Nick Saban is going to come out of this ahead. That's the way that he always does with these coordinator changes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not the first time I've heard Jim Leonard's name connected to that opening. And I guess kind of like, you know, the Bill O'Brien thing as well. I mean, supposedly the Packers were in on him, and there's DC openings in the NFL too as well. And he had some time in the league playing for the Jets. So we'll see what choice he makes when it's all said and done. A couple more for you, Connor. Number one, Georgia fans are going to hate this because it's kind of the doomsday scenario. And that is that Kirby Smart would have to do the exact same thing if indeed he did lose his DC. If Glenn Schumann decided, all right, yeah, it's the right opportunity for me to go back to Alabama, I'll do that. And then also, too, Todd Monken goes to the NFL. How do you think Kirby would shake out?
Man, Kirby would essentially do, and I don't have the list of candidates for Georgia just yet of what that would look like, because I think Todd Monken's going to stay. I know that's kind of an unpopular take at this point. We'll kind of wait and see, just because he's already seen the way this has played out with the NFL and how you can just be like the way that it played out with the Browns and him, you know, not necessarily having full control of the offense with Freddie Kitchens. Then he gets, you know, squeezed out of that job. Like, I don't know that he's all of a sudden going back, but I think it makes sense to try and get that next contract, why this is being floated out there, but it just depends on what he wants. I think that he would do what we've seen at places like Alabama and Kentucky. When you overhaul the offense, and LSU is another one, when you overhaul the offense and make that switch, you say to whatever your future coordinator is, hey, this is the offense that you're going to run, and you're just going to make a couple of tweaks. Because Todd Monken has been that good. In my opinion, he's the best assistant hire of the playoff era of any school. I think you can absolutely make that case. So I think that would be the precedent, and that's what Kirby would look for. And then on the defensive side, I mean, can you just promote Will Muschamp to full-time defensive coordinator? Like, is that a crazy thing? And then you kind of just go with an under-the-radar type hire. I mean, maybe, you know, maybe there's an internal, you know, promotion or something like that that you could see, maybe like a, you know, a Trey Scott or something like that would make sense to move him up to co-defensive coordinator, then keep Will Muschamp in that role. I think Kirby would do something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like whoever he's put in that position, the defense just has not skipped a beat. So we'll see if that good fortune continues on. One final one for you, Connor, because we've kept you on long enough. And you know what? We could keep you on even longer, but I know you got things to do, my man. And that is outside the SEC. Of course, Deion out at Colorado. I mean, it seems like daily there is something on social media, in the news, whatever it might be, of him out there at Colorado. So let's just go ahead and ask the broad question. Is he going to succeed out there?
I think he's going to succeed for what Colorado needs. I mean, Colorado was a train wreck. They've been so unbelievably bad. I mean, it's been terrible, like, to watch what that program has become really since – after they had a surprising year in 2016 where Jim McIntyre is, you know, getting National Coach of the Year love. And it's been just a really bad go for the last 5+ years. But, I mean, this is the way it's done. It's a talent acquisition game. And what's he doing right now? He's acquiring talent left and right, man. Like, say what you want about Deion, and, like, he still is going to have some moments where he's going to ruffle feathers, and he has some moments that don't really sit well with me. But at the same time, like, how could you not be encouraged by what he's doing and bringing in a Travis Hunter, bringing in a Carmine McClain? Like, these are guys that Florida State and Florida whiffed on and would be giddy if they were getting, and they're going out to Colorado. I mean, that is incredible to think about. It's all about talent acquisition in this day and age. Deion is doing it. I don't think that it makes them all of a sudden like a 9-3 team in year one, but yeah, could they go to a bowl game and have some nice moments this first year and then really set the stage to be kind of that good vibes team going into year two? I think that's absolutely the case, and I think he's done a remarkable job so far.
Connor O'Gara, Saturday Down South. Find him on Twitter at CJ O'Gara, and I'm telling you right now too, go check out the Saturday Down South podcast. Like, subscribe, 5-star reviews, all those different types of things. Throw those all Connor's way. Connor, appreciate the time, buddy. We'll catch up soon.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, man.
Awesome. Thanks, buddy. Connor O'Gara, like I said, at CJ O'Gara is how you find him on Twitter. All right, coming up next, we could all use the benefit of the doubt. Well, this guy, I think he especially deserves it. We'll close out this Friday show of the Chuck Oliver Show next, right here. It's Dan Matthews in for Chuck on a Friday.
Hal Lindsey said that a person can live 40 days without food, 4 days without water, but only 1 second without hope. The world can knock us down and suck the hope right out of us. Personal challenges, stress, loss, and pain, they're enough to make us spiral into despair and just want to give up. If that's how you feel, I get it. But when the Bible speaks of hope, it means a deep-rooted confidence in God's character, that we can trust Him to do what He says He will do. This living hope can be ours through faith in a resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ. Regardless of our circumstances, the hope we have in Jesus strengthens us today and gives us a firm foundation for tomorrow. This is Bryant Wright, hoping that you find real hope in Jesus, speaking right from my heart.
For more on this and other topics, visit rightfromtheheart.org.
You don't have to play the game to change the game, and you don't need to be a scout to find the NASDAQ's most innovative players. You can become an agent of innovation by investing in Invesco QQQ, the ETF that gives you access to some of the top NASDAQ 100 companies revolutionizing the sport you know and love. Huddle up with the NASDAQ's 100 most innovative companies in one ETF. Invesco QQQ is the official ETF of the NCAA. You've been checking the ticker your whole life since they started running scores across the screen. Now check the grown-up ticker. QQQ's the symbol.
There are risks involved with investing in ETFs, including possible loss of money. ETFs are subject to risks similar to those of stocks. Investments focused in the technology sector are subject to greater risk and are more greatly impacted by market volatility than more diversified investments. The NASDAQ 100 Index comprises the 100 largest non-financial companies traded on the NASDAQ. An investment cannot be made directly into an index. Before investing, carefully read and consider fund investment objectives, risks, charges, expenses, and more in prospectus at Invesco.com. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Some of the best sounds you'll ever hear are generic, safe, effective, even money-saving, just like FDA-approved generic drugs. Even if they don't come in the exact same color or shape as their brand name equivalents, they have the same key ingredients and go through a rigorous review process. Talk to your doctor or pharmacist today and visit fda.gov/generic drugs. Generics are safe, effective, and can save you money. You'll like the sound of that.
My name is Jackie. I'm a mom and a survivor of cancer caused by HPV. I know how important HPV vaccination is for cancer prevention. You can protect your kids. It's as simple as getting your girls and boys the HPV vaccine series when they are 11 or 12. Let's get our kids vaccinated on time. Make an appointment today. For more information, visit cdc.gov/HPV and talk to your child's doctor. HPV vaccine is cancer prevention. A message from the CDC.
Hey, I'm rodeo clown J.J. Harrison. Now, if you've ever seen me in the arena, you know I like to have fun, take chances. But I also take safety very seriously, because rodeo clowning can be dangerous, but so can farming or ranching. Never assume location of depth of underground utilities or pipelines. Before you start work, always call 811 or visit clickbeforeyoudig.com. It only takes a minute, and it can save your life.
Always call 811 or visit clickbeforeyoudig.com before you start work. A message from the Pipeline Operators for Ag Safety Campaign. Here's farmer and landowner John Prue.
We purchased the land about 3 years ago, and there was an old farmstead on there with trees. We were going to clear the land so we could farm through it. We thought we knew where the pipe was, so we didn't call to get it located. The work on our property led to the damage of a light crude pipeline. Fortunately, no one was hurt, but it could have been much worse.
Never assume the location or depth of underground lines. Always call 811 or visit clickbeforeyoudig.com before you start work. A message from the Pipeline Operators for Ag Safety Campaign.
The king of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
My understanding from talking to some folks is that he wasn't even recruiting the Arkansas players. He was kind of pulled off here this past weekend while he was weighing whether to go to TCU or not, and that almost not necessarily sealed Kendall Briles' fate, but probably gave him that little extra push he needed to just go to TCU and call it a career, call it a day at Arkansas.
Brandon Marcello on 103.7 The Buzz there in Little Rock, same station that John Neighbors, who joined us a little bit earlier here on the Chuck Oliver Show, works for. Dan Matthews in for Chuck as we got just a few minutes left on this Friday. Programming note for you to store away and keep in mind for next week. So you're going to get me Monday through Thursday next week as Chuck, the R&R, a tropical location undisclosed. As, you know, got to let the Kang and the First Lady be able to enjoy a little bit of time away, especially after the football season, which, hey, in all fairness, I'm going to have mine next month. So I look forward to that. But Chuck away today, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, back Friday, which when he told me he was going to be back Friday, I was like, why? I was like, why wouldn't you just roll that into the weekend? But I guess everybody enjoys a Friday, even if you have to work on that Friday. So, you know, go ahead, just jump right in, enjoy the weekend, and then the full week, the week after that. So that's what you got from the Kang. I want to thank all of the guests who joined us today. Neil McCready, RebelGrove.com, as well as the McCready and Siski podcast, Oxford Exxon podcast, as I tried to roll into that one way too fast. He joined us here on the show today, as well as John Neighbors, Will Vandervoort from the Believe in Clemson football podcast, and then the man you just heard from right there, Connor O'Gara. But I do want to close out by talking about the benefit of the doubt when it comes to hires. And I want to take it back to, again, it's the comparison all the time. You know, like I said earlier, hey, we did this first. No, we did this. Is the comparison is easy enough now between Nick Saban and Kirby Smart, because both of them, oddly enough, might be in the same boat here this offseason in terms of having to hire offensive and defensive coordinators. We'll see how the hiring cycle plays out. But I want to take you back to the 2017 offseason where, of course, Lane Kiffin, he moves on and takes the job at FAU. And Nick Saban at the time goes to the pro ranks and brings in a tight ends coach from his good buddy Bill Belichick's coaching staff, the New England Patriots, and that guy's name, Brian Daboll. And remember when he was hired, it was immediately, I think people were just basically going off looks. It's kind of a husky looking guy, probably somebody who just oozes I formation, just boring pro style offense, right? We're going to go off tackle here. We're going to play the way that the pros play offensive football. And people immediately thought, great, Nick, now you're putting yourself back in the offense again, and you're going to have it be the boring, same old offense that you had it before Lane Kiffin took over. And we had exciting offense with Jalen Hurts and being able to put up some serious points, and we're moving fast and we're doing all those different types of things. And I'll never forget at the time Nick Saban, when he was asked that about slowing the offense down, where he looks at the person and goes, who says we're going to slow the offense down? Well, if you believed in Nick Saban on that one, the offense then did not lose a beat. It picked up right where it left off with Lane Kiffin, and you were able to parlay that into a national title with, at the end of the season, both Jalen Hurts and then Tua Tagovailoa, and things were just completely fine. And then you had Steve Sarkisian after that, and you've been able to win national titles from there. Well, it's kind of starting to hit Kirby Smart now, because there is a strong belief that Todd Monken could indeed scratch that NFL itch again and go back. At least the thought is that he would go back to his old stomping grounds of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And there's a real concern that that is going to be the case. And the other concern as well is, at least from the recruiting pictures that are being put out there right now by coaches in the Georgia high school ranks, that you see Mike Bobo out on the recruiting trail. And some Georgia fans are now starting to think, oh, well, that means he's going to make Mike Bobo the offensive coordinator. And then immediately people start to say, well, you know, I understand what Bobo can do from the passing game. I understand all the points they put up. And, you know, Georgia fans, some of them you talk with, they think that Mike Bobo is the largest, just completely incompetent person there is to call an offense, when the numbers back up that he's not. But the one that I keep hearing as well, the work that Todd Monken did in the RPO game. Do you think that Mike Bobo has not studied the RPO game enough in these last few years? You think he's just completely just looked at offense the way it was when he left the program in 2014 and said, yep, that's the way it's going to be. That's how we're going to have it. Guys, if Mike Bobo is the offensive coordinator at Georgia, they're going to be just fine, because here's the other part of it as well. You got better players than you did the last time that he was there. So if Kirby does decide to go that route, guess what? The benefit of the doubt, I think he's got it. And here's the beauty of it. If it doesn't work out, Kirby will make a change. So, Georgia fans, calm down if it's Bobo. That's going to do it for me on the Chuck Oliver Show today. Back with you on Monday. It's Dan Matthews in for Chuck. David Holloway behind the glass. This is the Chuck Oliver Show.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.